I'm not sure that people yet realize how much this Uvalde shooting has changed the relationship between the public and the police. And when I say the police, I use that in a general sense. It also means, you know, sheriff's deputies and U.S. federal marshals and in Texas, DPS agents and so on, state level law enforcement. The relationship is shattered. It's just shattered. Anybody who was watching, anybody who's read the timeline, anybody paying attention now realizes that when you call 911, well, you might as well, I mean, it's a suicide call because the cops are not coming to help you. When children in the school are on the record, on the timeline, making 911 calls saying, you know, I'm alive, the shooter is in here, he's shooting children. There are, what, 8 or 9 other children still alive. Send help, send help. You know, basically, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what it was. When those calls are being placed to 911 multiple times, and yet the chief of police is telling law enforcement to stand down, and they do so. They do so. They stand down. And the chief of police says, oh, no, it's not an active shooter situation. It's a barricaded situation. Then you know that the police have lost their credibility with the public. Because let's review what the argument has been, especially for the anti-gun people, saying why you don't need a gun, because all you have to do is pick up your phone and call 911. And then men with guns will be dispatched to you in a timely manner, and they will solve your problem. You have an intruder in your home? Don't worry. 911 will solve your problem. Is there a rapist in your home? Oh, 911 will solve it. Is there an active shooter? Don't worry. Police will respond, and they will resolve that situation in a timely and professional manner. And then you look at the Uvalde shooting, and you realize that a crazed mama with a revolver could have done a better job. In fact, one mother broke away from law enforcement, and she, I guess, leaped over a fence and got into the school and rescued her kids and brought them out of there. She did a better job than law enforcement. So this whole argument that, oh, you should wait for law enforcement to show up because they're trained and they're professionals, that whole argument has just been demolished. Now, you listening to this, you got to decide what you want to do in your own situation. And I understand that not everybody's trained in firearms. I get that. But for me personally, I'm not calling 911 until after the situation is resolved. I'm not going to waste my time calling 911. I should be maybe reloading or something, you know? Dialing 911 is a suicide wish. The cops aren't going to solve your problem. That much is clear. The social contract between police and civilians has been shattered. And shame on these members of law enforcement who did that because, you know, I'm a supporter of the men and women in blue, and most members of law enforcement would not have acted that way. They would have gone on in there. They would have engaged that shooter. That's the training. Engage the shooter. Go toward the sound of gunfire, for God's sake. Even if you're taking rounds, move toward it. And yet, that's not what happened here. They waited in the parking lot, and then the DPS spokesperson for Texas even said, you know, thank God no members of law enforcement were wounded or killed. Yeah, thank God, but at what cost? I mean, 19 children were killed and 2 teachers were killed, and there were other people wounded on top of that. So at what cost? I mean, I would have rather, I mean, I know this is a gruesome way to think of the numbers, but I would have rather seen, you know, 1 or 2 members of law enforcement wounded or killed and saved 15 children. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, I know it's hard to just do the math that way, but that's the reality. Sometimes you put your life on the line to save a lot of other lives, and these cops did not do that, even though that's their job. They did not do it. They failed to do their job. So as I'm saying here, have no illusions, right? The cops aren't coming to save you. We've established that now. Well, really, the cops have established that. You can thank law enforcement in Texas for that answer. So what does it mean? For those of us who might face a situation, a home invasion, a carjacking, I don't know, an attempted robbery, a robbery on the street, you know, crazed assailants, you know, somebody on, high on meth doing crazy stuff. What does it mean? And I'm sorry to have to say this, but it means that civilians are going to have to take matters into their own hands if they want to live. That's really what it means. Do not have any faith in police solving your problem. Do not wait for police. And, you know, I got to offer a disclaimer here and say that you have to decide what's appropriate for you and your skill level and your training and you know, where you live and what's your neighborhood environment and so on and so forth. And also, what are your laws and what's your risk to civil liability? I mean, I guess one of the reasons people prefer to call cops is because then if the cops engage the bad guy, then that potential liability falls on the city or the county instead of you. But that doesn't really matter if you're dead, does it, right? So if there's an active shooter situation, somebody with a gun, somebody with a knife in your face, I don't think liability is going to be your highest priority. I think survivability is going to be your priority. You know, how do I not die in this situation? And I'd be reaching for a rifle, not a phone, personally. But that's just me. You got to decide what's right for you. That's my disclaimer. I can't tell you what to do, and every situation is different. But I'm not waiting around for cops. Oh, hell no. I mean, sure. I mean, if there's an active shooter, I might die. I might die. But I'm not going to die with my magazines still full of bullets. I tell you what. When they find my body, be like, well, this dude fought. He fought back. He emptied all the mags. You know, he probably put some holes in the bad guy. You know, I'm not going to be the guy that got killed doing nothing, standing there with my phone in my hand, waiting for cops to show up. Oh, hell no. And the thing is, when you engage an active shooter, you might at first think you're the only person with a concealed carry. You might think that. And then you might be surprised. Maybe people were just waiting for somebody to lead the way. And you pull out your sidearm and you start blasting away at this mass killer shooter person. And there might be two or three of your friends there or other adults who have concealed carry that maybe they decide, hey, I'm gonna help out here. Maybe your gunfire distracts the bad guy long enough for somebody else to actually move up on him or get an angle on him. You know, in the military, it's fire and maneuver, fire and maneuver. All you got to do is get a couple of angles on the guy and somebody will be able to take him out. So maybe your gunfire doesn't get him, but you distract him or you pin him down. You prevent him from returning fire, you see. That's, I mean, this is classic, you know, battlefield instruction. Half the reason, well, actually more than half the reason that soldiers are firing rounds in a battle is just to pin down the enemy and prevent mobility. They're not even expecting to hit the bad guys. They're just trying to keep them from moving. And if you can keep an active shooter from moving, which requires expending ammo, by the way, then somebody else might be able to help finish the job. So, you see, but I know a lot of civilians don't necessarily think about all these details, but I do. So you have to decide, of course, what is right for you. But make no mistake, that relationship between civilians and cops, it is shattered right now. Now, can law enforcement rebuild that relationship? I think yes, with time and with proving their commitment to halting violence. And, you know, I mean, look, it's tough to be a cop. I get it. The whole area of law enforcement is incredibly difficult because you can do your job right 99 out of 100 times, and then it's the one time out of 100 that you get called to the carpet on, right? The one time you messed up. But, you know, being a cop, it is like that. You got to be right every time. You got to have consistency in being right. That is absolutely crucial to your survival and also to the community having faith in you and having faith in your profession and so on. And that's why I think, by the way, I think we need to double down on refunding. Maybe that's not the right word. Increasing the funding for police. I was trying to say the opposite of defunding. We need more funding for police. And with more funding, police can get more training, they can attract better personnel, they can raise salaries and benefits, and they can have a higher budget for expending ammo in training and so on. And maybe they can have cops carry more gear in their cars. Like, how come every cop car doesn't have a, like, a battering ram to open a door in a school, you know? Or how come they don't have shields, like ballistic shields that they can carry? Or how come all cops aren't trained in how to carry a ballistic shield with your left hand and shoot your pistol with your right hand around the shield? You know, typically that's the configuration. How come that training isn't universal among cops who might be responding to these kinds of situations? We need better training for cops, and especially training in marksmanship. You know, I've told these stories before where I've been on the range with cops, and you know, they've watched my shooting, and they're like, "Man, wow, how, you know, how do you do that?" And then they start asking me questions, like advice on their rifle and their configuration and stuff. And I'm shocked that so few cops are good at marksmanship. Now, I've also met a few cops who are very, very good because they do the training and they expend the ammo, they put in the time. But most cops, like beat cops, sadly, are really not that good. They are not able to hit, not even able to hit targets that aren't moving, much less targets that are moving, which is a whole different ball game. And if you're moving, so, you know, that's why in the training that I've gone through, your target's moving and you're moving, both. So moving and shooting. How do you move and shoot? You know, how do you move and shoot when the target's moving and shooting back and all these kinds of issues? And we need that kind of training because these are the scenarios that cops are going to encounter. Now, in the meantime, I say that we, the people, need defensive tactics training. We need a lot of training. And I'm really glad that I've gone through all the training that I've pursued. It's been a lot of years of training, many, many thousands of dollars, frankly, tens of thousands of dollars worth of ammo over the years. It's a lot of ammo, a lot of firearms and so on. But the training is critical. And I think everybody needs basic pistol and basic rifle training. So I want to encourage you to find some local instructors. You can search out concealed carry classes, or you can look at some of the national instructors that are offering courses nationwide. Just search for like defensive pistol training or defensive rifle training in your area, and there will be classes. And you can join those classes, and you can learn a lot of skills. I mean, really, you'll learn a lot in a short amount of time. And yeah, it'll cost you a few $100 and some ammo, and you know, you'll need a holster if you don't have one, but you need that anyway. You're going to need a pistol if you don't have it, but you need one anyway. So put in the time and the investment, because remember, the cops can't help you. They're not even willing to help you. I mean, again, not all cops, but as we saw in Uvalde, large groups of police are unwilling to help even children who are being massacred in real time and calling 911 and screaming, "Help us, help us. There's a shooter in here." They won't even help in that situation. What are the chances they're going to help you? Pretty much zero, right? Not going to help you. Now, as society collapses even more, and it has begun, but it's going to get a lot worse, you're going to have just shootings everywhere in the cities. You're going to have stabbings. You're going to have looting and robbery and home invasions. You know, people won't be able to afford food much longer. The fuel prices are through the roof. Violence galore, okay? So you and your neighbors might want to get together, have a neighborhood defensive coordination program, you know, with radios and firearms and some night vision and things like that. I'm not joking. I mean, you got to start thinking about the collapse of society and the police being useless. Even if they want to help, they're about to be so overwhelmed with criminals that their help won't even be possible. That we're going to see the total breakdown of society. I mean, not next week. It's going to take time. But in some areas of the country, the food riots will be just the beginning. It'll be total chaos. Just crime and shooting sprees and stabbings and rapings and looting just galore and things on fire. Cops won't even be able to go there. So either you become your own first responder or you might get caught in one of these things and get killed. So a lot of people, sadly, are going to suffer that fate, but make sure it's not you. Thank you for listening. Watch more of my videos about firearms and self-defense at prepwithmike.com. I've got a good video collection there, and I've got more videos coming, including a video about the new folding AR-15 from Shield Arms, and that's at shieldarms.com, and why this is, I think, the perfect self-defense weapon that can be carried and deployed very quickly to help stop mass shooters. That's shieldarms.com and prepwithmike.com. Thank you for listening.